Good morning. Grace to you and peace this first Sunday after Christmas at Queen Anne Lutheran Church for our 1:10:30 service this morning. It's nice to see each of you here, whether you are a longtime member, first or second time visitor, or somewhere in between. We are glad to see you here, and it is good to be here. We today feature special music. Our guest organist is Valerie Shield. She will be joined by Ethan Isbin, and the name of the gentleman accompanying him has escaped me. His name?
Gumi.
Okay. Yes, that's not printed in the bulletin, so just a shout out there. Like you at this time, please to silence your phones. And then take a moment of silence with me as we prepare ourselves for worship. Our gathering hymn, What Child Is This?, is number 296 in the red hymnal, Please Rise As You Are Able. Our service begins on page 2 of your worship bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
And on earth, peace to all whom God's favor
rests. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For God has done marvelous things.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Shine into our hearts the light of your wisdom, O God, and open our minds to the knowledge of your word, that in all things we may think and act according to your good will, and may live continually in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel, the second chapter, verses 18 through 20 and 26. Having dedicated her son Samuel to God's service, Hannah visits him every year when she and her husband Elkanah come to the temple to offer sacrifices. God grants Hannah more children, and Samuel himself gains favor in the sight of all. A reading from the book of Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him every year, and when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Word of God, word of life. The second reading comes from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. Just as newly baptized Christians in the early church were clothed with new garments upon arriving from the baptismal waters, so all who have received God's gift of life in Jesus Christ are covered with the character of Christ. A reading from the letter to the Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you shall also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing praises, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, the source of life, and from Jesus, who is that life of God and light in the world. Amen. Today's message is titled A Messy Business. In it, I do a little soul bearing, so please bear with me as we talk about the messy business of church. As some of you know, I was a professor for over 10 years. I taught first at Pacific Lutheran University and then Seattle University. I loved teaching. Teaching, however, I discovered, could sometimes be a lonely endeavor. After all, students come and go. There's no permanence. It feels almost like an airport where you greet people perhaps momentarily, only to watch as they disappear. One of the reasons, therefore, that I left academia was because I was seeking a more stable and enduring community, a more stable and enduring fellowship. Not just any community, however, but one where people looked out and cared for each other, the kind where people would bear with one another, as our second reading says, the kind that would bear one another's burdens, as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, the kind where people would die to themselves and rise in new life for others. What I discovered upon becoming pastor at Queen Anne Lutheran Church is that Christian community is a lot messier than I thought. On the one hand, I have noticed time and again, members and friends of Queen Anne Lutheran Church exhibit incredible, amazing generosity. I've noticed, secondly, how Queen Anne Lutheran Church excels at hospitality, that is to say, at welcoming people. One of the things that I love to hear as your pastor is from someone who is new, how welcomed they felt at this church. I have also been awestruck by the way people here, the way you serve one another and this community through acts of kindness, charity, and volunteering. On the other hand, I have observed since the beginning tensions that exist among us in this church. I have observed conflict over finances and the use of property. An unwillingness sometimes to take risks or try new things. And an underlying narrative of scarcity where we tell ourselves we don't have enough even though, God willing, we do. In short, I've noticed that church life is messy, that this is a messy business, that it's a mixture of positive and negative, of good and bad, of saint and sinner. Now, I share this with you, the latter part particularly, not to make you feel guilty, to blame anyone, or to single anyone out. That is not who I am. But the fact is that all churches have conflicts and tensions like the ones that I have named here, evidence for which appears throughout the Bible, especially in the letters of Paul. Sometimes we say or do things that hurt other people, just as other people sometimes say or do things that hurt us. When I was on my sabbatical at Princeton, I dwelled a lot first on the negativities of church life. I thought about how, as a pastor, people know that they can talk to me in ways that I cannot talk back to them. And believe me, as someone who came out of the womb arguing with the doctor, that has been a very challenging aspect of being a pastor. I thought about how difficult it is to forget the hurtful things that people often unintentionally might say. And I thought about the challenge it can be to remember all the positive things, like the generosity, the hospitality, and acts of service I mentioned earlier. Thankfully, as days passed, I increasingly began to realize more of the good things about our community of faith at Queen Anne Lutheran Church than the bad. This made me, by the time my sabbatical came to an end, more excited than ever to return, to share once more as we endeavor in our life together in Jesus Christ. I like you, and I want that to be clear. But I also recognize, as I've been saying, that sometimes church community can be very difficult, and people get hurt along the way, myself included. Today, there is something else I'm so excited to share. We have an incredible resource for navigating the complexities and ambiguities of church life. Can you guess what it is? The Bible. The Bible offers blueprints for how to live together as Christians. One of my favorites appears in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, our second reading for today. Take a look, if you will, at verses 12 through 13. The author writes, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." What do you notice here? What stands out in these two verses? For me, it's this line. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That's our blueprint for how to deal with the messiness of church life. Forgive one another as God forgives you. Now, you might say. That's great, Pastor Dan. I'm so glad you've returned. But where on earth do I start? Here's how. Number one, identify someone you may have hurt deliberately or unintentionally over the past week. Maybe it was something you said. Maybe it was something you did. Identify someone you have hurt. Second, privately ask God for forgiveness. I'll give you a moment. Third, today, over the coming week, I want you to do one of two things. I'd like you either to apologize to that person, or if it feels too uncomfortable or too risky, to resolve to treat that person differently by doing something kind for them. And if you like, you can tell me how it went next Sunday. Yes, friends and members of Queen Anne Lutheran, church life is messy. It's full of ambiguities. It takes practice to get it right, which is why we share the peace and reconcile ourselves with one another every Sunday. You've heard from me time and again that worship is practice for how we as Christians should live in the world. It's difficult, but take heart. God forgives you. God forgives me in Jesus Christ. God enables you, and God enables me through the Holy Spirit to forgive others and to ask for forgiveness. So let's get to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Knowing we are loved and trusting in the power of forgiveness, let us say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the prayers of the church, we invite you to be seated or to kneel.
Filled with the good news of great joy, let us offer our prayers for the church, the earth, and all people. For those who teach and those who learn, we pray. Bless the ministries of education throughout your church. Help Sunday school teachers, college and seminary professors, and Bible study leaders in deepened faith and inspired curiosity. Lord, in your mercy, for the thriving of creation, we pray. Protect the habitats of endangered species and the fragility of all life. Increase our knowledge of the natural world and help us care for its inhabitants. Lord, in your mercy, for the nations of the world, we pray. Raise up rulers who lead with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Let your peace rule in their hearts and in all lands. Lord, in your mercy, for the well-being of your people, we pray. Keep watch over all who travel this holiday season. Accompany those who are alone or ill. Console parents and children whose relationships are strained or severed. Lord, in your mercy, for the ministry of Queen Anne Lutheran, we pray. Let the word of Christ dwell among us. In times of conflict, clothe us in love and move us to forgive others as you forgive us. Lord, in your mercy, for whom or what else do the people of God pray? For all the forgiven saints who have passed away and now dwell in you and your sacred silence, we give thanks. Lord, in your mercy, we commend these prayers to you, O God, trusting your grace made known to all through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please rise as you are able. Let us practice reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Thank you. Please rise as you are able for the great thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. In this place of grace, all are welcome to the table of grace. Baptized Christians are all invited to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. If you wish to receive a blessing instead, simply cross your arms. The Lutheran tradition teaches that though God in Christ fills all things, God comes to us in a special way where God has been promised, namely in, with, and under the sacrament of Holy Communion. Glory to God in the highest. Come to the table of peace. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able for our post-communion prayer. God, our Redeemer, you have fed us at this table with gifts of grace, truth, and life. As you have gathered us in joy, send us forth as messengers of your peace. Make us shine with the good news of your glory, born to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and world. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, and great to see you once more here at Queen Anne Lutheran Church. I wanted to highlight a few things in our announcements, but first, Carol Ann gave me permission to say this. I wasn't thinking of anybody when I wrote that sermon particularly, which is why I emphasized within the last week, but if I was, it would have been Carol Ann, and I would have been facing directly here to preach at her. I'm totally kidding. She said it first. But I do hope that you take heart to today's message, that all of us need forgiveness and all of us are called to forgive. Today we welcome our guest organist, Valerie Shields. We give thanks also for Ethan Isbend and Gunnar, okay, for being with us today and sharing their gifts for music in worship. Our fellowship continues today after worship. It's a no-host coffee hour. Special thanks to anyone who shares treats and makes coffee. There are treats in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, rather, that were made for me. If you see that box, you are welcome to open it. I tell you now, what this person did should be illegal. I was eating these peanut butter chocolate treats on the evening of Christmas and afterward and almost got sick. I just couldn't stop. So there is crack cocaine in the refrigerator if you are interested. Next Sunday at 9 a.m., we have our first forum of the new year, and that will be on my time at Princeton. So instead, however, of talking about my experience there, I'm going to talk about my research there. So please join me if you can. This research will be put together and hopefully published by Augsburg Fortress, who have accepted the manuscript and who want me to finish everything by May. So come to hear how far I've progressed, what I've discovered, and share in fellowship. I wanted to say a quick word next, speaking of Princeton, about somebody in the congregation. We have a little book here that's called The Gnostic Gospels by Elaine Pagels. Pagels is a nationally recognized winner of the Presidential Award and a professor of religion at Princeton University. And it is in great spirit that one of our congregants sent me three of these and asked me to have them signed by Professor Pagels. Why three? One for me, one for that person, and one for our church library. So if you are curious to read more about Gnosticism, the first great heresy of the Christian faith, you can thank Connie Worm and check it out in the library. Just a couple other things quickly. Our first Saturday Seattle Seekers is in this case going to be on the second Saturday of January. That's January 11th at 10 a.m. Please join us as you are able. And finally, just a word of thank you. It is really great to see each of you here. It was really nice to celebrate Christmas with you, and I definitely look forward to serving you as the new year begins. Are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation? Then please rise as you are able for the blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Our sending hymn is Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 290 in the Red Hymnal.